Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Once again, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone in here to the Clay County Corner. We're over in the new room and ain't got much heat this morning. We got a little bit of heat going. We're not snug as a bug in a rug this morning, but got Coach Rob Edwards here with me this morning. We're going to be talking a little bit of boys basketball here in a few minutes. We've got a few other things to announce and talk about, and we'll get into that here before long. But we'd like to thank everyone for inviting us into your home this morning here on the Clay County Corner, where we come to you live and in living color each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock with a rebroadcast this evening at 6. And, of course, this gets streamed on the Del Hall Horizon website. And this is WVFB 101.5 on your radio dial, Kicks Country. And we really appreciate the folks that make all this possible here each Thursday morning by their sponsorship and also by all the support they give us, beginning with the Clay County Chamber and also the Three Star Committee that helped start this thing. I don't know how many years ago it's been now, but it's been a pretty good while, and we've had some great shows. We've had some less than great shows, and we've had some live music, lots of different things, and hopefully we get some information and things out to the folks here in and around Clay County. And I know we bleed over into Monroe County also, and we do, of course, broadcast from our tower out at Midway, and we appreciate being here each Thursday morning. And with that, I'm just going to clip out here and go over and let's put a few commercials out, come back, and I've got a few announcements to make, and we'll do that, and we'll get started with Coach Edwards here. We're going to talk about what's coming up now here in our boys basketball season that has gotten started, and we've gotten off to a pretty good start. So, and we'll be talking about that. And we're going to back up and talk a little history of his time here with the Clay County Bulldogs and the Salina High School Bulldogs. He actually made the move across the river also. So we'll be back here in just a few minutes.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday, 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. We, like I said, got Coach Edwards here with me. But before we do that, we'll remind everyone that today, about halfway through the show, if I can remember not to forget, that we have our birthday list today. We'll be going through that. And let's see, going on, I know this weekend over at Tompkinsville, kind of associated with our Rolly Hole Marble thing, is the Kentucky State Marble Tournament over there at their Marble Dome. And if anyone would like to come out and watch that, I'm sure they'd like to have you come by and check that out. And let's see, a few more things we have got going. I know here at the courthouse, and we'll be getting some information for the local papers and some stuff on the social networks, and that is we're having a karaoke Christmas here at the courthouse on December the 16th at 5:30, and that's kind of in association with the Salina Christmas on the Square that's taking place on the 9th and the 16th. And we'll have some more information on that. We'll have some categories there and be an open mic night. So if anyone that wants to come out and sing and perform, we'll have that all set up. And we'll probably do some classes maybe and give away some little awards of some kind for that. And then, of course, we'd like to really do a big shout-out to the folks that made the Christmas parade possible this past weekend, that being the City of Salina and the Salina Street Market Group, put on a tremendous Christmas parade. I think we had up close to 100 folks in that taking place, and it was a great night on there. So we've got all these things coming up and just lots of things going on here at Salina. We keep reminding everyone to spend part of your money here at home. We know you can't get everything here, but, of course, most of what you can't get here you don't really need anyway. So just go ahead and spend a whole bunch of money here through Christmas. But we have, I'm going to do a little thing here with, if you'll notice, our Teddy Lou's is not open right now. I think maybe Roger snapped an Achilles or something, so the head cook right now, he's had to recuperate. I know they are taking orders and things down there, but they haven't left. I mean, you know, they just like he had, I think someone said he was out Salina Lumber Company or something and felt something pop in his lower foot, and they've kind of diagnosed he may have partially snapped his Achilles, so he, but they'll be back up and going here before long. And with that, good morning, Coach Edwards.
Good morning.
Well, you've got your schedule there in front of you, and what are we going to talk about this morning to begin with? We'll let you kind of direct yourself.
Well, I was hoping you'd ask some questions. But,
well, I could ask some questions, but let's back up here. And your preparation for this year's season. I know you had the depth down in the football schedule, and you lost quite a few players. In the last couple of 3 years, you've lost some of the better players we've ever had and some of the better backup players we've ever had in the past few years. And you're kind of coming in something you haven't had in a little while, and that is kind of a fresh group.
It is. It's kind of a different scenario than what I've had in 24 years with so many kids playing football, for one, which is great. I've always been an advocate for, you know, you get 4 years of high school and play everything you can while you're there, because the majority is not going to play beyond high schools.
And we have to share them, don't we?
We do. We certainly do. We're not, we don't have 2,000 kids like a lot of these big schools where they can just do individualized sports. But we do share them, and happy to see football be successful and have a good run a few years in a row. I had, I think, 7 of my top 8 playing football. All 5 starters this year, all 5 starters, or 4 of the 5 starters last year played football as well. So a lot of football players playing basketball now.
And of course, they are your best athletes in school. And I know sometimes there are some students that you really don't want to play football, but you're not going to say, hey, you know, I don't want you to do this, because some of them don't have the football bodies, and you're scared to death that you might lose one for a whole season.
Yeah, I particularly get a little nervous when those guys who've never played decide to start playing as a junior or senior, and they're just they're just out there playing the first time, not really sure how to protect themselves and those sort of things. But at the same time, you know, again, it goes back to you get 4 years to do it. So, don't have any regrets when you graduate high school. Don't wish you had done it. So go ahead and play. And
right. And I know you had a couple of those guys that hadn't played football and kind of came in and did a great job for the football team this year. I know White. And maybe a couple more of the guys.
Yeah. Wyatt in particular, he played his junior and senior year. And Wyatt's always had great footwork, and that makes a great offensive lineman. So Wyatt's a big body and with good feet and can move laterally. And so he's had a real impact for football the last couple of years.
Yeah. Okay. Now, let's you said, you know, the first game that you played, you were playing a team that had most of their, maybe at least four of their five starters that were playing football.
Yeah, I'm not really sure how many. I know they have some guys that play football, obviously. Some of their better athletes, better players, but East Robertson, who you're talking about.
Right.
They showed up, and that was our opening regular season game. We actually played a game prior to that. We played DeKalb County in a last-minute scheduled Hall of Fame game. I didn't schedule any of those because I wasn't sure how deep football would go in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Like I said, with eight of my top nine or seven of my top eight or whatever it was playing football, it was hard to schedule anything just not knowing. So we got that DeKalb County game under our belt. We ended up winning that one.
Well, tell us a little bit about the Hall of Fame. I know they've been around for a long time.
They have. You're allowed to play 24 regular season games. And they came along with the idea of the Hall of Fame, Hall of Champion games. When I say they, TSSAA.
And that was to earn money to build a building or something down there to house all this stuff. Or
You're allowed to play two of those or two dates. You can play three games in one day if you like. But you're allowed to play two dates that week prior to the opening of the regular season, and call them Hall of Fame, Hall of Champion games. But the proceeds of that, the gate money, 50% of that goes to TSSAA. And what they're planning to use that for is to build a Hall of Fame, Hall of Champions.
They haven't got it built yet?
No, they're still working on the fund, I guess. But I know we've sent them a lot of money through the years.
Long
yeah.
Time.
Yeah.
They may not be in any hurry to build it.
Well, they may not be.
We better be careful about that.
If it wasn't for the
I ask you about that. I know when it first started, if you won, you could count it on an official game.
You could.
If you lost, you didn't have to.
That's right. And when that first started, that's exactly what you could do. You could choose to count it. You could be 1-0, or you could, if you lost, you'd be 0-0. We played one last year, for example, against Livingston before we had our football guys, and we got beat. And then the football guys come in, and they already have a loss. So I kind of like being able to count it or not count it. But they changed that for whatever reason. So now you have to count them.
Well, they make the value being the TSSAA make some major changes that kind of catch folks by surprise, and that is, you know, those of us retired coaches, the coaches now, and school officials and things like that, actually they have a TSSAA card that they, like for us retired coaches, I think it costs us maybe $20 a year to get one of those things. And for the history of those things, most all schools would accept those and let two people in on a card. And now they cut that in half and said, the card's good for one person and not two. And it's kind of, some of the things they do, you think, you know, you, They've got a pretty good nest egg down there, but seems like they keep working on building more. And I think also this year I noticed on my card that they had combined that it is now high school and middle school on the same card. So, I mean, but, you know, those are some of the perks that they do have for retired coaches and things like that. But they are in charge, and as a whole, you know, it's a tremendous job, the things they do handling all the sports here in the state. And I know that we as coaches, very few of the things they changed we ever did really like, because most coaches they don't like change that much.
You know, it's not TWSA, but the NFHS, the free throw rule this year changed. As you're aware of, we were talking a little bit before we went on there, and TWSA adopted that, but it's there's no more one-on-ones.
Is that a National High School rule, that, I mean, change that they came up with that you could apply if you wanted to, or is it kind of mandatory?
I think that was universal across the country, that's one of the mandatory ones. The shot clock has been approved by the National Federation, but it's up to the state associations whether they choose to use a shot clock or not. So,
I hope we don't ever do that.
Well, I assume high school basketball stay high school basketball. It's not college. It's not the pros. It's high school, and I don't see any problem with the way the game's played now.
No, I mean, it changes the pressures of the game, and it turns the game away from more of a too organized and not as much fun to play. I mean, it kind of limits what your players can do. And really, one of the things I think it really, really limits is the amount of participation all five of the players out there get to be a part of.
Yeah, I'm not a proponent of it. Like you said, I don't like change when it comes to the shot clock. I guess there's advantages to it. A lot of people say, you know, it prepares those kids for college. They're going to play in college. But, you know, if they're going to play in college, they play AAU, and AAU plays with a shot clock. So, majority are not going to play in college. I think it takes away, it's really a disadvantage for less athletic teams that try to slow the ball down. Work the tempo of the game. It forces them to play at a faster pace than they want to.
Well, you know, we've always had these coaches that came up with ideas that were, I guess, smarter than the guys they were coaching against. And some of the things they were coaching against had lots of power. But I know over the years, back when we had North Carolina, that played four-corner basketball forever, and they could, you know, they would hold the ball, and
right.
we had these ball games that weren't very exciting, everyone said, where the final score might have been 22-20 or something or other. So they got together and came up with them, the shot clock thing. And then I know over the years, I know one of the most famous coaches probably in the game, Adolph Rupp didn't like the dunk. So guess what happens for about 4 years in college basketball? They outlawed that. You can't, for a number of years, the high school players couldn't even warm up and do that. And because he didn't have a Lou Alcindor on his team. But, you know, but the outcome from that was that he, with that change in the rule that lasted a few years, he turned Lou Alcindor into, what was his name now? Kareem. And he probably became the best low post player that's ever been, because it forced him to learn a new shot called the skyhook. And of course, Wilt Chamberlain, that came along, and he was so good they had to widen the 3 second lane out, and just, you know, but it seems like everything kind of does balance out finally.
It does. I think we have a pretty healthy high school basketball in the state of Tennessee, and even in the Upper Cumberland, you know, on both sides, boys and girls. I think pretty competitive year in and year out. A lot of good coaches and a lot of good players have gone through here.
You know, and we have good attendance at our ball games. I don't know what we average, but I think our gym seats, what, about 300 or 400 people, and we're usually always more than half full every night down there, and a lot of nights it's nearly standing room only down there. So, you know, we have good support, well, for all of our sports here in Clay County.
We do. We're very fortunate to have the community support we do from both businesses and individuals that really support our student-athletes and our programs.
And, okay, we need to take a little break. We're a commercial in here.
Right.
And we're going to come back and talk about this year's team a little bit.
That'd be great.
All right, we'll be right back.
Tri-County Electric offers their member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and gardening, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank or FDIC, an equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, Coach, let's talk about this year's basketball a little bit. You want to start down with your roster there, or you want to do the schedule first?
We can do either. Let's just start with the games we've played already. We're 3-1. We played DeKalb County, East Robertson, Jackson County, and Macon last Tuesday night. Jackson County clipped us at their place, shot the ball really well. We didn't play great the first half. We didn't do a good job on our post guide. He had 20 at halftime, but did a much better job the second half, held him to 6. So we'll get him at our place. So January, February, maybe we can make some adjustments and make things right again with the Blue Devils.
that's always been a great game forever. And I know, this back when I coached, they've never forgotten the game and the Champ Smith jumper from the corner of the foul line that won the district tournament for Salina High School. And there have been some bloodbaths down there over the years.
It's always a rivalry game, you know what I mean? That's just the nature of it. It always has been. since I've been here at least, so and long before that, I'm sure.
Yeah, when I was in high school.
Yeah. So far, I mean, I just jotted down a few stats from our four games, and we're averaging 58 points a game and giving up 52 a game, so, you know, hopefully we can continue that trend. We can hold teams around 50 points a game. I think we can score more than that night out to be able to win. So we're out-rebounding our opponents 33-26 a game, which is kind of surprising considering that, you know, we're quite a bit smaller than, you know, outside of Wyatt Browning. You know, we're not very big.
So, one thing with games, you've got some players that when the ball is shot, if they're not necessarily in rebounding position, they go after the ball.
They do.
You know, so many teams anymore, when they see the ball is missed, they head to the other end to play defense.
Yeah, we emphasize that a lot in practice about offensive rebounding because, those second and third opportunities are very valuable, as you well know. And, the more of those we get, obviously the more we're going to score. So, we can get two offensive rebounds a quarter. You know, you're talking about eight extra opportunities to score. So,
okay. Now, looking ahead, now what's coming up on the schedule there?
Well, tomorrow we have East Robertson again at East Robertson this time. The way our schedule falls out, our district has, as coaches, we decide to play all our district games after Christmas. So that pretty much fills our backside of the schedule up. There's a couple non-conference games on there, but for the most part, they're all district games. So playing East Robertson, you know, 2 weeks apart, or playing York 2 weeks apart is just kind of how it has to be.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not. I mean, I like having the district games on the backside of the schedule.
I know when I started coaching, our first two games were with Rickman and Clark Range.
Yeah.
Didn't have football. I quickly changed that.
Yeah. when we had eight teams in the district, now we only have five, but when we had eight teams in the district, we couldn't do the backside all district games. But we had our second or third game of the year was a district game. So now that we're down to five, we're able to put all those on the backside. And just us as coaches, we feel a little bit better playing those more important games there after Christmas when we've got a few games under our belt.
Do you think that the governing organization will ever come up with a plan to where we can get back to have at least eight teams in a district, or come up with some type of region that way and do away with the so-called district, kind of like they have in football?
There has been some talk about doing away with the districts in basketball and going to regions and not playing a district tournament, which, again, here I am. I don't like that change much. I think the value of the district tournament for a lot of our folks around here and our kids as well enjoy playing in those type atmospheres.
Yes.
And if you do away with the district tournament, if you're not good enough to make the region, then, you know, your kids never get to experience that atmosphere. So I'm a proponent of the district tournament. I want it to stay around, but, you know, I'm just one vote. So,
but, you know, I've always kind of liked the idea of the region. If you know, everybody has to play everybody twice, and then you seat them for your region tournament. And then, of course, my thing as always was if one and two goes on the next round, and everybody else and do away with all the consolations, and I mean, we know the money thing.
Of course, basketball, what, 3 years ago went from three classes to four classes. So instead of a single, double, and triple, we've had to 4A now, and I don't know that that will change on the next cycle or not. I don't anticipate.
They don't back up.
No, I don't anticipate going backwards. You know, football, I think, has seven classes maybe, or maybe more than that with the private. I think it's six public and three private maybe. So nine state champions in football in the state of Tennessee. I don't anticipate those going backwards anytime soon. But, you know, getting back to the schedule, we have East Robertson tomorrow night, long road trip, but that's where the region tournament's going to be hosted this year, is at East Robertson. So, it'll be good for us to get on that floor and play a game there. Following week, we travel to York, travel to Jamestown, play York on Tuesday, and then we host Upperman on a Thursday night game, which will close us out before the Christmas tournament starts. We have a week off just to kind of practice and work on us. But that Upperman game, first time we've played them, and I really don't know, eight or nine years probably.
I can remember the first game we played them. I was in that in 1961 playing in the old gym over there that had a bad side on the gym where the planks were kind of up and their whole defense was to steer you down the bad side. But that's been a year or two ago.
That's a pretty good game plan, really.
Yeah, Coach, of course, I don't think Coach Frank Medley was there then. But yeah. I just throw that name out in his memory.
Mr. Medley was principal when I was at Upperman High School, and one of the best men I ever knew. You know, he's very fair and always has a smile on his face. So I'm sure he's been missed in that community. December 18th and 19th, we're going to host a Christmas Classic. We're a third year hosting the Christmas Classic here at Clay County High School. We've got, I don't have this written down, but I think on the girls' side, obviously we're playing, I think Macon County, Tompkinsville girls, Monroe County girls are playing, Cumberland County girls, and Richland girls are coming to play. There's five teams on the girls' side. On the boys' side, there's us, there's Macon County boys, there's Richland boys, who's another single-A team, really good single-A team. I expect that first night's when we're playing them at 7:30, so that's going to be a heck of a game for us to get ready for, because they're really good. And UC Rams, Upper Cumberland Rams, they came last year. They're a homeschool team. Last year they were they're really good. They were pretty darn
right.
Good. You know, we didn't play them last year, but we do play them this year. So we play Richland on Monday night and UC Rams on Tuesday night.
So looking forward to that. And then I know that you've also got your Christmas tournament you've been playing in for quite a few years coming up also.
We do. After Christmas, after Santa comes and sees us, we're going to go up to Monticello, Kentucky, which is where we've been going there for quite a while, on and off. Just always good competition. I mean, there's always a couple teams from out of state and obviously teams from Kentucky there. And I think I got the bracket the other day. I think we play Pulaski County, Kentucky. So it'll be our first game. Again, that's another big one for us. I mean,
that's a toughy tournament. It is.
It's tough. But, you know, it gets us ready for that conference schedule starting in January. So I feel like if we can compete against teams like York and Upperman and Richland and Pulaski County, Kentucky, and Wayne County, Kentucky, and a team out of Ohio, if we can compete with those guys, win or lose,
you know,
we're going to be ready to go in January.
You're grateful to have folks that you kind of feel like you can beat each year on the schedule, but also, you know, you don't get better if you play patsies every night.
That's right.
You do need the competition. I know it kind of stings you a little bit when you come out on the lower end of the balance there.
Yeah.
But it does in the long run get you ready for district, region tournament play, state tournament play if you play that good, tough schedule.
It does. You know, I mean, I mean, nobody likes losing less than me. I hate losing, but, you know, I can accept it if we're getting a little bit better.
Okay. Now, looking into the season, let's look at our district play here. What kind of quickly and just do a little quick synopsis, if you can, of each one of the teams that we're playing this year.
All right. So we had our coaches meeting back, I don't know, a few weeks ago, and we did a little poll, and Pickett County's the favorite. They get practically everybody back that
any newcomers?
That, well, of course, they do have a couple newcomers. One in particular, I think, from Allert to Jamestown somewhere, a freshman who I haven't seen him play, but reports are he's pretty good. So they were picked first, and I'm trying to remember, we were third. I believe maybe Gordonsville was second. Yeah, pretty sure Gordonsville was second. They returned their big post player, the Sykes kid, the guard that broke his arm last year. That's also the quarterback on the football team. Can't remember his name right now, but left-handed kid. He's pretty good, and they have a freshman point guard that's really good. So they'll be a load. We were picked third. Red Bullen, I think, was picked fourth, and I think Red Bullen's as good as anybody. They have the big Copas kid who may be the best player in the district. And they have
a coaching change, I believe.
They did have a coaching change. I can't remember the guy that's there
former,
now.
But girls,
girls coach. Yeah. I'm sorry, coach. If you're listening,
I can't remember his name.
If you're listening, knows him. I can't remember his name right now. But they do. They have a couple kids coming back. And then Clark Range picked to finish up at the bottom. But again, they also have a new coach. So I've been watching their scores, and they played some really close games with some good teams. So I think it'd be competitive night in, night out, just like it always is. There's never a night off in District 7.
Okay, and your coaching staff, you want to
Yeah, absolutely. Coach Matt Walker, who's the girls' coach, he's on the bench with me helping again. And Andrew Meadows, who's been with me for years. He was at Belmont for 4 years with Coach Rick Bird. So
yeah.
that's pretty good knowledge right there. Have Joe Adams, who is coached junior high, coached this same group that I have right now in junior high a couple years and did a good job with them there. And we picked up Clark Range's former coach, Jermaine McElvain. He is really good at individual development, player development. He can take kids and work with them one-on-one and just does a really good job with them. So we're lucky to have him.
That's very, very important. You know, that's something a lot of coaches, you know, that they tend to stick five varsity out there and five second stringers and run up down the floor a whole lot.
It is.
It doesn't seem like there's not a lot of individual teaching going on basically at any level anymore.
Yeah, and it almost has to be, I mean, at least in the high school level, once the season starts, you know, during practice, you can do some individual drills where kids are getting individual reps, but we only get to practice 2 weeks before our first game. And so we've got to start getting ready. We've got to get stuff in. We've got to get our defense sets and offense ready to go and baseline out of bounds. I mean, everything's got to go in a couple of weeks. And you just don't have much time for that individual stuff. So you got to do that outside of practice time a lot of times.
Well, you know, I guess most players now, they have begin to realize that you don't learn how to play basketball necessarily in practice. A whole lot of that is individual things with you and your buddy or whatever, and spending time in the gym shooting 300 or 400 or 500 shots a day and things like that. But then again, from there, a whole lot of our younger kids, they think it's more important to dribble between their legs behind their back than it is to pull up and shoot a jump shot. You know, it seems like a lot of the games that anymore have turned into dribble drive and 3-point shooting. It is.
It's a lot of there's a lot of dribble drive, and we run dribble drive too. It's not the main thing we do, but we run it if we feel like we have an advantage where we can, you know, we're teams where you spread them out and they can't guard us one on one. You know, if we can break them down and make two guys guard us and then find an open guy, and we'll run dribble drive. But yeah, you're right. It's outside of practice time when you really get better.
I know
when you work on your own.
Years ago, the opposing coaches would say if we passed the ball three times, they considered we were in a stall.
Yeah.
And we miss more shots than these guys take now.
There's a lot of teams that try to do fewer possessions now than there were just a few years ago, seems like, but at least at our level.
Okay, and a regular practice, How much time do you put in every day with practice?
Well, it varies. When the season first starts, for example, just a couple of weeks ago when we got the football guys back, we're going a couple hours a day, 2 hours, 15 minutes maybe. As the season wears on, we get in January and February, those will scale back. We'll get back to hour and a half practice time.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Because once we get everything in, you can only go over it so many times. If a kid doesn't know it by February the 12th, he's probably not going to know it after that. But we scale back just for a few reasons for that, and rest our legs a little bit because it's a long season.
And I know back many years ago, Adolph Rupp set one of his teams on. They were all real young, and somewhere along in the second half, they run out of things they learned to do.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's take a go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, that wraps up schedule pretty much. We have the conference schedule there. We'll go through February the 9th will be our senior night against Jellicoe, which is a team that we've never played before until last season.
Are they down in what used to be the coal mining country or something?
They are up in East Tennessee.
Are they up toward?
Up above Knoxville. There's no way to get
there.
They're up
that way. They're not down toward... South Pittsburgh.
No. Okay. They're the opposite direction. They're up above Knoxville, but they're a pretty good team this year as well. So look forward to playing them. And then of course, district tournament will be back at Livingston Academy this year. And then region tournament, like I said earlier, will be at East Robertson.
Okay, we'll take a little short break, and we're going to come back. And we'll talk about. We've got to get all of our individual players in, and I know. We've managed to stay on subject pretty good today. So we'll be right back here in a few minutes.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is. A date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve. Salina Lumber Company gives you the convenience of a big box store with its thousands of items, but with a small town feel. At this family-owned home improvement store, they treat you like family. They have thousands of items in stock and can order so much more upon request. Their departments include appliances, automotives, building materials, cleaning supplies, doors and windows, electrical, farm and ranch, fasteners, hand tools, hardware, heating and cooling, lawn and garden, lighting, lumber, mowers, outdoor living, outdoor power equipment, paint, pet supplies, plumbing, power tools, sporting goods, store supplies, and tools. Many name brands and products are stocked at Salina Lumber Company, located at 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee. They're open on Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 7 a.m. to 2 p.m., and closed on Sunday. That's Salina Lumber Company, 1223 Mitchell Street in Salina, Tennessee.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why making Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender. Come grow with us.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Are we back? All right. Welcome back, everyone. Well, Coach, let's look at some of the important things now, the individuals. You want to start at the top, work your way down, or you might want to work your way up?
Well, we'll start with the freshman, work up if you want to.
That'd be good. Oh, one more thing. I do know you've got a little sharpshooter coming up, looks like. A couple of them down in junior high now. I know a little Upchurch kid. They can shoot a basketball.
Coach Maxfield's doing a good job with the junior high down there. I've been to a couple games and watched them play, and a couple big kids that are real physical and
right.
Some good guards, some good shooters, and
he really stuck out to me when he hit about three or four threes in a row.
I think he hit three in a row on Red Bullin maybe, and then they put a boxing one on him, chased him around a while.
Let's get into these now.
But yeah, I'll mention first our managers, it's hard to go without managers to help me do some things. Tristan Tuck and Sam Brown and Carly Kendall is doing our book this year for us. Those guys are all ladies. All been doing a good job. I have three freshmen on this year's team. We have Jack Copeland, Juju Villa, and Waylon Hayes. Looking forward to seeing how those guys develop. We play a pretty good JV schedule, freshman/JV schedule. As a matter of fact, we have two JV games at White County this Saturday, 2:00 and 4:00, where those three freshmen and some of those sophomores will be playing in that. Four sophomores, speaking of, Cole Eads, Nolan Adams, Warner Melton, and Waylon Cherry. Guys that, I'll be honest with you, they've all really gotten a lot better since their freshman year. I mean, they've really developed and gotten better picking things up, learning how to guard in high school and making shots. And again, if you want to see those guys play a lot, come a little bit early and watch the JV games. Go ahead.
Actually, we're moving up the line now.
Yeah. Moving on up to the juniors. Three juniors, Lance Burchett, Nate Adams, and Hayden Adams. And again, some guys that have gotten better. Lance and Nate, both starters for us this year, played a lot of minutes last year. And, those guys got to do some scoring for us. They can absolutely score the basketball, so we rely on them a lot. Six seniors on this group's this year's squad: Kyler Westmoreland, Hunter Buford, Colton Anderson, Weston Burgle, Andrew Smith, and the big show, we call him Wyatt Browning, guy in the middle. And obviously, we look to those guys for leadership, along with being the guys that we rely on night in and night out and every day at practice. There's a few people that can't have bad practice, and that's one of them is the coach, and the other one is the seniors. They've got to be leaders. They've got to, every day in practice, they've got to come out and set the standard and motivate everybody else. So we look for those guys to do that.
It looks like you've got six seniors there. And now, one special young man there, Coach, and that is Hunter Buford. Tell the folks just a little bit about Hunter.
Well, Hunter has been a manager. He was a manager his freshman and sophomore and junior years, and tried out this past summer and decided to give him a. He earned a jersey. He earned a jersey. So we're glad to have Hunter around. He plays some JV for us too, and we get him in there when we can, and he's been a good addition for us over the last 4 years.
And he is a great ambassador for the basketball team. Now he's a friendly young man. He's never seen a stranger, and I know that I know he loves the game of basketball.
He does. He always has a smile on his face. You know, even, and he's one of those guys, I mean, he's there every day for practice and does everything that everybody else does. And, you know, I know all them guys around him think a lot of him, and they aggravate the fire out of him most of the time, but I think he enjoys that too. So.
And looking down through, I know kind of, what do you expect out of going, like with Kyler there, what was Kyler's specialty out on the floor there?
Well, Kyler is a guy that didn't play junior high and didn't play his freshman year, so he was automatically way behind. But he's done a good job of getting in the gym and is on his own time. He spent a lot of time in there this summer and this fall. Worked with Coach McElvain a lot, to be honest with you, and has really developed into he can shoot the ball really well. You know, he's come in. We were struggling a couple games, and I stick him in there 3 in a row. You know, defensively, he's gotten so much better in this past year, and he's able to guard guys now. And you know, we just need him to make a shot for us every now and then.
Okay, let's go on down. Then we've got Colton there.
Colton is a kid that I love to death. He's been with us all 4 years. Comes to practice every day. He's a great guy to have around. Going to try to develop a little bit more this year and maybe get him a few minutes in there to back up Wyatt. He's Wyatt's backup post guy between him and Hayden Adams. You know, those two guys have got to fill that role. Got to get him a little bit tougher, a little bit meaner, get him in there.
Got Weston Birdwell. I can remember when he came in as a freshman, kind of a little scrawny little feller back when he was a freshman. And
he was. Weston, interestingly, Weston is the first player I've had that also coached his dad. TJ was a junior my first year.
Does that make you feel any older?
Yeah, it does. There's two of those now. Actually, Warner Melton is the second one, Nick Melton's son. So, yeah, Weston is a high energy guy. Weston is always going to the offensive glass. He's always making a play. He made a big shot against DeKalb County. He shot a 3 out of the corner there with 8 seconds left, put us up 2 points, you know. And
that kind of starts that, and you think, well, what are you? What a shot.
That's kind of how that went, Weston, back in the spring, we played a little travel basketball, and Doug Strong coached those guys for us, and, Doug kind of got him to let the ball go a little bit, to shoot a little bit more, and Weston can shoot the ball, you know, and he's a guy that makes plays. He just makes things happen.
And Andrew coming up next.
Andrew Smith is his first year as a starter, but now he did play some minutes last year and played some minutes as a sophomore too. Andrew's another guy that's similar to Kyler in the fact that, he can shoot the ball. If he gets hot, he may make 2 or 3 in a row. Definitely a guy that, that plays a big role and, hard nose, gives you everything he's got every practice, every game.
Okay, and Wyatt, of course.
Like I said, Wyatt's a big show. He's a guy that he's our inside presence. You know, and like I was talking about in football earlier, I mean, the dude has great footwork. I mean, his footwork is really good. Reminds me of a guy like Gavin Silk or Jake Ashlock. You know, around the rim with their back to the basket. If you saw the Macon County game the other night, they have a big post guy too, and Wyatt did a fantastic job guarding him the other night. I mean, just outstanding job guarding him.
Well, what about his foul trouble? Did he manage that a little bit better?
He has. I know the first game against East Rob, he had 2 fouls in the first 48 seconds, so he got to sit out the whole first half. He's one of them guys that he's coming from football, and it's football, you put your hands on people, and basketball, you put your hands on people, those referees don't like it.
They frown on it.
Wyatt's going to play a huge role for us you know, we'll have to have him scoring some inside and drawing some double teams. And he's really good at finding an open guy when he gets doubled. And you know, those guys knock down some shots, will be a good check.
Okay, then looking on down through Lance Burchett, real, hey, we're a colleague. We're going to run it. You're going to have to speed up. And I'm going to keep my mouth shut.
Okay. Well, let me talk. Lance is a dude that can absolutely shoot the ball well, and probably the best defender on the team. You know, he's not the biggest guy, but man, he has quick feet and quick hands. And on the offensive end, like I said, we run some stuff to get him some open looks. Nate's gonna run the point for us, quarterback, good decision maker with the ball, high basketball IQ. Gotta get him playing a little bit better on defensive end, but you know, Nate's a guy that that we're gonna count on night in, night out to run the show.
Okay, now going on down through the rest of these guys we have talked a little bit about, But I know everyone is important out there, and that's one of the hardest things, you know, to get across to people is that, you know, you can't have a team with just five starters. I mean, all these contributors down through there, like you said, you've got Coley. I know he's come in and played some decent basketball for you. Nolan Adams, all these guys, they've all got things, and of course they're all still learning. Warner Melton, Waylon Cherry, Jay Copeland, and I don't know about this.
Julian Juju is what we call him.
Yeah.
And Waylon Hayes, you know, and back up there to Hayden Adams, that third junior, you know, those guys are, their day's coming. You know, they're in the same seat now that Weston and Andrew Smith and Wyatt were in a couple years ago. So their time's coming. But they just got to develop and keep working hard and spend some time in the gym and get better. And that's why we play all these JV games, so they can get that experience and those opportunities to get minutes on the floor and not just be practice players. But, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a good roster. I'll be honest with you, top to bottom, it's a good roster.
You know, and like I said, look down through there and you see with six seniors there, which is great on as far as maturity and playing time and things like that. But then you look at next year, these guys are all going to be gone.
Yeah. It's funny how those guys just, you know, when they get to be pretty good, they leave you.
Yeah. It'd be nice if you could keep some of them another year.
Yeah,
it would. Of course, a lot of states did do that. You know, I know Kentucky did that with the COVID. They added a year for everybody up there.
They certainly did.
Our association wasn't that good to us down here.
No.
Well, we have just about covered everything. Anything else that, you know, that strikes in your mind right now, you know, about this year's season?
You know, I mean, we're going to, you know, five new starters. And we're going to go through some growing pains, you know, like Jackson County the other night. You know, probably a game we should win. I felt like we should have won that game and just didn't think we played very well. I didn't have us ready. And, you know, we're going to go through some growing pains. But I really think that with the strength of our schedule and as hard as these guys work every day, January, February, hopefully into March, we're just going to keep on getting better and be a pretty good team at the end of the season.
All right. Well, I guess we're about to run out of time, and I forgot to mention the birthdays halfway through. We were having so much fun, but I'll do that real quickly here now. We've got Mr. Dayton Browning celebrating a birthday, Ms. Grace McLaren celebrating a birthday, Kelsey Browning, Ruth Copas, Mr. Donnie Peter, one of my former classmates a few years ago, celebrating a birthday, Ms. Haskell Colson, from up in the east end of the county, and a special lady here that no longer lives in Clay County but celebrated that still had lots of friends here, and that is Miss Sandy Norris, who was Mr. Ray Norris's wife, who was in charge of the chamber for so many years, and she was greatly missed when Ray passed away and she moved back to Kentucky, but we'd like to wish her a happy birthday also. And with that, it looks like Kelsey Browning has won the birthday cake today. So congratulations, Kelsey. You can come over by the chamber office and pick up your envelope with your prize in it. And with that, I think we're just about through. I had nobody in my ears told me to shut up and get off yet, but it's coming pretty quick if I don't. But with that, you know, we're getting everything set back up here in the room, everything taken care of, and we look forward to everyone tuning us in next week here on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And with that, you know, may the good Lord bless and keep until we meet you again, and hopefully we'll meet you right here again on your radio dial next week. And with that, good day, Clay County.